You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Today on the Word of Truth Revealed.
God is trying to expose a heart that went through trauma and it passed through the blood, went through redemption after repentance, and now that heart is whole. Because that's way more attractive than the trauma. Right now, if you have trauma, you can get on any talk show and they'll let you speak. What would happen though if your heart was healed? I mean, totally healed, where you're not struggling. Well, what they did, what they said, what's going on. God allows these things to happen so he can expose a healed heart.
Celebrating 30 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Restored. Today, Bishop will be teaching from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 12 through 15.
What about a change of heart or change of mind? When's the last time your mind changed? Maybe you haven't repented. Because that's what it means, change of heart, a change of mind. It goes beyond feeling sorry or even guilty. When David prayed in Psalm 51, he prayed that you remove guilt. It's not just being sorry or feeling guilty. It implies that you're turning away. You're turning away from destructive behavior. You're turning away from that destructive path. We're redirecting our focus. We're coming back to God. We're turning away from what he says we shouldn't do and turning to God and to the things that he says we should be doing. And that process will create an atmosphere of restoration and to be restored fully. Thank you, Lord. So we talked about the meaning of repentance. That's a change of heart and change of mind. Write it down. If we really, really want to operate in a profound way, the redemption, or the verse that I read to you out of Romans chapter 4, speaks to the meaning of redemption, but it also speaks to the kindness, or kindness versus judgment. I highlighted in Romans chapter 4, verse 4, that the kindness of God leads to repentance. This is a dynamic that's unusual because it is the fulfillment of 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. God says, instead of me shutting up the heavens to get your attention or stopping your flow, I'm going to send you kindness because of Jesus. I'm going to let you grow. I'm going to allow you to expand. I'm going to allow you to be a part of the church for years and you're still dragging weights in bondages. I'm going to allow you to come to me and worship. I don't want you to be critical of the world when you got the same things going on, but I'm going to send you kindness instead of shutting up the heavens for 3 years and 6 months or not allowing any flow to happen to you, especially when you got a bad attitude. I'm still going to prosper you. I'm still going to bless you. I'm going to be kind to you versus sending immediate judgment, because I want my kindness to lead you to repentance. This is theology 101 for young people. Some of us are old coons, but you need to know that when God blesses you, it is not for you to continue to do what you do. Amen. 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 He He blessed you because he's looking for you to say, God, I know I didn't deserve that. I did not earn your kindness. You blessed me in spite of. I shoplift, but they didn't catch me. I shot at that man's mama, but I missed her. You showed me mercy. If I hit that man's mama, I would be in jail. So I'm not going to criticize jailbirds. You set me free. I didn't deserve the kindness because I was there anyway. I was in the midst of them. I wasn't the one caught. And you were kind because you want me to repent. God ain't trying to scare nobody into the kingdom. He said, I'm hoping that my kindness would lead you to a spot where you will ask me for forgiveness. And this repentance, write it down, is a heart of transformation. Repentance develops a heart for transformation and restoration. God is kind to me because he wants me restored. He wants me to be transformed. So many of us are in transitional zones in our lives. And wherever there's a joint or a zone of transition, there is weakness. Oh my God, help me. And so in your body, a lot of times, it is not your bone that becomes weak. It can break, but it's in the joint. It's in your elbow and your forearm. A lot of us don't get pain in the bone. We get pain in the joint, shoulder pain. That's a joint. Your shoulder's connected to your arm. And in that joint, that transitional joint, there's weakness. And when we're transitioning, that's where the weakness is. When we're trying to reconcile, that's where the weakness is. When we're trying to move forward, that's where the weakness is. When we have to work with each other, that's where the weakness is. Because we got to join together. That's why the devil fights it so hard. I know it's not free. I know it's hard. But God says, I'll give you grace in your joints. I'll give you grace when you're transitioning from one to the next. I'll give you grace when there's an argument because the devil's trying to block communication. And if you can get past it, if you can reach beyond the break, man, I'll feel the Holy Ghost on that. Hallelujah. If you can reach beyond the break and let God take you past transitional zones to where you got a length of bone now, then we can build muscle. But I've hurt your joint. You won't reach beyond the pain. You'll stop at it. That's why I'm asking God to send grace to the joints. Thy word is quick and powerful and sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing deeper to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints, and marrow the bone, and is the discerner of the thought and intent of the heart. Hallelujah. So I'm asking God to send the word to your weak joints, to your communications, to the people that hurt you the most. Don't just ask God to forgive you, but ask each other to forgive you. Watch God strengthen the body. Because the word is not just for your heart, it's for your joints. Your connections, hallelujah. And whenever God gives you a divine connection, you ought to protect the joint. Oh my God. A young man by the name of Jair Johnson, his mother's name Danielle, a member of our church, just graduated with his doctorate degree. He's out in Seattle, Washington, and when he comes in town, he always comes to see me. Hallelujah. And we had a luncheon this week, last week passing, and he was telling me about his journey, hallelujah, and showed me photos of him going across the line, to crossing the line with his doctorate. I mean, bona fide doctorate in sociology. His education and his level, the way he's speaking, is different. And I said, I want you to come to the church as an alumni and speak to young adults, and I want you to come and speak to our youth so you can talk about it. You know what he told me? He said, I realize that when you have a divine connection, a relationship that is sound, you don't break it for nothing. He said, if it wasn't for the joints and the connections that I have and prayer, the prayer of my mother and you, Bishop, praying for me and encouraging me after my father died, I don't know if I would have made it, because it was tough. I had to burn the candle at both ends and work. And I had to focus and I had to do some things. And I know it was your prayers and the word of God that helped me to get through. And I want to strengthen the relationship because it's divine. Without that relationship, while I was in the halls of academia, I would have gotten lost. They introduced things to me that was contrary to the word, and I had to say, no, I'm not going to do this, but I'm going to stick with that. I said, son, you speaking powerfully. I need you to come back and share it with the church. I will even send a ticket for you to come back and share as alumni to young people who are struggling that won't really focus to get your life together. And I need our church to be able to be open for those young people that have come through the halls of this ministry, and now they're in zones, hallelujah, out there moving and shaking and dealing with stuff and tying world economics together, and their mind is expanding, but they're still tying it to a relationship that they had when they forged it right here at Truth Reveal. And the devil don't want us to grow. He wants us to be angry with each other and not see what God is trying to do. And I'm here to tell you, if we get our mind right, hallelujah, our kids will grow. If we get our mind right, hallelujah, the next generation will have a chance. And if we work with each other, there's nothing we can't do. Oh my God. And all God is asking for is a heart of repentance. Stop looking at the flaws and asking for grace for the joints and the marrow of the bone, and let him discern the thoughts and intent of your heart. Then one day we'll be able to say, look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. I'm going to praise his name. I'm gone, man. I'm telling you, man, I feel Rabboni up in here. Vince Price! Rabboni. The teacher. When people realize how good God is and how forgiving God is, despite our flaws, I see he's good and he's forgiving in spite of our flaws, in spite of our rebellious ways. It should inspire us to have a genuine relationship and gratitude for the Lord, a desire to change and be more like Jesus, rather than to fear getting caught or to fear getting in trouble, just because I love you. Just because I love you. When Megan was a little girl, she came to me and said, Daddy, I want something to drink. But it was 2 a.m. I was like, you can't wait until... But it's the way she asked me. It wasn't a demand. She said, Daddy, I'm thirsty. It was the way she asked me. I could have laid there and said, sit down. You're going to be all right. But something kicked inside. You going to tell her to sit down, or you going to show her love right now? Because I believe we have moments of conception. A woman has a certain time in the month when she can conceive. It's not all the time in the month, a certain time. when the egg is released from the ovary into the fallopian tube, there's a moment where conception can take place. A whole lot of stuff has to go right for you to conceive, or a whole lot of stuff has to go wrong. I believe we have moments like that of conception, and many of us miss it. If the baby dropped a vase and it was your favorite one, do you yell at the baby, "Look what you've done"? It's a moment of conception, or do you pick the baby up out of the glass and say, "Let me get you in the soft spot right here. We'll take care of the glass later. You are more important than my favorite glass." I wonder how many of us miss moments of conception. God gave you a moment that if you really exercise love and forgiveness, you would see things shift. But because we are selfish and self-centered, or we're laying in our comfort, we don't want to be disturbed out of it. And we miss that moment of conception where the baby realizes, "My daddy loves me." Boy or girl, "My daddy loves me because they prefer me over their favorite stuff." One day I took her to Kentucky Fried Chicken, and she wanted some chicken, and we were sitting in there eating it together, and all of a sudden she threw up on herself. But it wasn't just the mild one, it's the whole meal. And she was embarrassed. She was 7 years old. I said, "You sit right there." And she started to cry. I said, "It's going to be okay." I felt led to clean it up myself. So I went to the back and I said, "You have a mop and a bucket," because it went over her dress all the way on the floor. It was a lot. And I asked them for a mop and a bucket. So they said, "No, we'll take care of it." I said, "No." Basically, it's a moment of conception. So I went in the bathroom, got a whole ton of tissues. And I got on my hands and knees and wiped it up. And she was watching me, and I was talking to her while I was cleaning it up. I said, "When you rise, I rise. But when you fail, I fail. And I take responsibility. Maybe I didn't train enough." And she was staring at me. And I wiped her dress first. And then I got on hands and knees and cleaned her surroundings. I believe she heard me. I was pastoring this church when that happened. Most of you never heard that story. And I can give you another 1,000. Sometimes I missed it, but a lot of times I didn't, because I realized moments of conception. He gave me that concept that I allow things to happen in people's life. Even I hurt their feelings. They get hurt in church, but it's a moment if you can turn it. The meaning of redemption will take place even in the person that hurts you if you can exercise God's character. Oh my God. Nobody's talking about being superhuman. We're talking about being extraordinary. I got a lot of ordinary people, but God is looking for some extraordinary people who allow grace to operate in the ordinary circumstances. Glory to God in the highest. Let God transform you. Write it down. Repentance is never God's final decision or destination, I would say. He always has a blessing on the other side. He's not just telling you to forgive and there's no restoration, there is no blessing. Forgiveness is not final destination. There's something that comes on afterwards, and it's powerful. God's goal is to get us to be restored back to Him, but also to each other. And He wants to get a blessing to you. He never wants you to be shameful. He knows what we've done. He knows where we are, but he's not trying to expose us. He doesn't want us to be shamed. He wants to expose, not your shame. This is what God is really after. He's not trying to expose what we did. He's trying to expose a healed heart. God is trying to expose a heart that went through trauma and it passed through the blood, went through redemption after repentance, and now that heart is whole. Because that's way more attractive than the trauma. Right now, if you have trauma, you can get on any talk show and they'll let you speak. What would happen, though, if your heart was healed? I mean, totally healed, where you're not struggling. Well, what they did, what they said, what's going on. God allows these things to happen so he can expose a healed heart. He wants you to be able to say, they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He sent me out ahead of you. You hurt me. But God in his providence sent me out ahead of you to prepare a place for you, to prepare Goshen for you. And I want you to go to Goshen, for there I will nourish you. Anybody can talk about their pit and their pot and their prison and their being forgotten. What happens to a healed heart? Do you know what a healed heart can do to a community? Do you know what a healed heart can do to a family? Do you know what a healed heart can do to a church? That's trying to move toward the place of having no spot or wrinkle. Do you know what a healed heart can do for the ministry that you're in? Do you know what a healed heart can do for a dark heart that never had light to shine in it? Do you know what a healed heart could do if it was exposed? If the heart was exposed, that had no holes in it, that wasn't leaking out precious gold and precious glory and precious grace, but it was able to contain it. Do you know what a healed heart can do if that heart came into alignment with God's will? You know what a heart like that can do if you had resources? A heart like that can do that had a blueprint or a plan. A heart like that if they really had God's vision in it. Yeah. Glory to God to save many peoples from devastation. And there's way more coming. Hallelujah. But because you're tied to me, Joseph said, I'm sending you to Goshen because we still have famine. But while you're there, I'm going to nourish you. Oh, my God. Because God wants to get a healed heart exposed, not a hurting heart. A repentant heart is not God's final destination. He wants to expose a heart healed. Yes. Hallelujah. And what my father could not do, God is exposing the heart of salvation in him that turned down things when he was 30. And he raised up a son who could speak to the nations. Because that's what he does with a healed heart. Glory to God. Think about where you are and think about what happens if God fall on your son or your daughter. What you couldn't do. Hallelujah. He'll put something in them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That would change the nations of the world. My father never spoke to a crowd. But I came out of his loins, hallelujah. And because he opened up the portals of prayer in our home, I believe God looked down at his son through the eons of time when he was sewing a tithe and didn't know why, or giving, hallelujah, and said, I'm going to raise up one of your own out of your loins that's going to grab a microphone, hallelujah. And when he's hurt, he's going to preach. And when he's happy, he's going to preach. And when there's sorrow in his life, he's going to preach. And when they forsake him, he's going to preach. And when he gets himself entangled, he's going to preach. When he come out of it, he's going to preach. He's going to be instant in season and out of season. He's going to reprove, rebuke, exhort, and correct with all long suffering. mind, you are the manifestations of the ones who hurt you the most. And if you can get your heart healed, there's no telling what God can do through you. Oh, my God. Touch your neighbor and say, you're in the place, the right place at the right time. God is trying to expose healed hearts. So repentance restores the heart, right? Psalm 51 and 10 has created me a clean heart. Renew the right spirit in me. That means that the heart is healed or clean. It changes our behaviors. Clean heart, change behaviors. Clean heart, vertical, change behaviors horizontal. You can't have a clean heart and not have change in behavior. That's what it equates to. So God is after change of behavior, so he cleanses the heart. Y'all see it? To change that now, he has to change desires. He has to change motives. He has to change affections. But a healed heart will change desires, motives, and affections. I say Psalm 51 and 10 says, create in me a clean heart, renew a steadfast spirit in me. For that to happen, my desire, my motives, and my affections must come in alignment with him. So create in me that. Repentance opens the door for that. Number two, write it down. I said to you, I'm almost done, but I'm giving you some pointers for redemption, for repentance. It restores the heart. Number two, it restores your joy. I'm looking at it right here in Psalm 51 and 12. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Write it down. Sin steals joy. It robs joy. That's why many of us can't be happy. Because we lost the joy of walking with Jesus.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, Restored, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
Florida's 2026 back-to-school sales tax holiday is officially set for July 20th through August 20th. For an entire month, you can shop smart and save big with tax-free deals on clothing, shoes, personal computers, and select accessories. As you gear up for the new school year, consider picking up a few extra tax-free supplies for our upcoming back-to-school drive at TR Main on Saturday, August 1st at 10 a.m. Drop your donations in the bins in the Fellowship Hall anytime this month to help ensure every child in our community starts the year blessed and prepared. Men, get ready to elevate your faith journey starting Sunday, August 2nd at 6 p.m. We are diving into No More Excuses by Tony Evans. Grab your copy of the book and secure your spot today, online or in the TR app.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.